live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University. It is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. I'm looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it's about that time. Happy Monday to you all. It is September 30th, 2019, and we just finished up MSU homecoming weekend. Always a fun weekend as Michigan State alum come back and reminisce on memories of being a student here on this beautiful campus. It was a packed campus, as it usually is throughout MSU homecoming weekend, and I really hope you guys had a great one, despite the fact that the Michigan State homecoming parade did get rained out on Friday evening. That was a bit of a bummer and a bit of a sour way to start MSU homecoming weekend. But, hey, Michigan State football won, right? Saturday, Michigan State football got a win over Indiana. Now, it was not easy by any means. That Indiana offense caused some problems for that Michigan State defense. Michael Penix Jr., who was a game-time decision. We didn't know if Mike was going to be the guy until we saw him warming up in warm-ups. And I felt like listening to the dialogue from Tom Allen throughout the week, he did a really good job of keeping the cards close to the vest when it comes to whether or not Michael Penix Jr. was going to be the guy against Michigan State. It was kind of up in the air. We just didn't know. And then all of a sudden he's warming up and all right, well, we'll see what this kid can do. And he had a great game. Can't even lie. It's not like Mike was just bombing throws down the field left and right. Most of his completions were just short passes, those dink and dunks that forced the Michigan State defense to play up a bit. And then Mike would eventually, you know, from time to time, throw out a bomb and try a deep throw downfield. But we're gonna dive into that game, and you're gonna get our thoughts on that game, and you'll get my takes on, you know, what Michigan State must do to improve. But a win is a win, nonetheless. And Michigan State now will move along, and this week will prepare for a team that is, no doubt about it, the best team in the Big Ten Conference. And you can make an argument, I guess, that this team may be the best squad in the nation. You can make the argument. Ohio State is who Michigan State will play in Columbus, Ohio, come this Saturday night. That is going to be a primetime matchup, kickoff set for 7:30 p.m. All right, so we'll talk Michigan State football today. Also, want to talk about your Detroit Lions. Oh, is that fun? That was a fun game. That was a really fun game to watch. I can't even lie to you guys. I was watching that game, and I had promised you all last week. I had people blowing me up because they're like, Al, hey, hop on Amazon and make sure you get that Matthew Stafford jersey ready for next week. But it's the Lions. All right? I mean, come on now. It's the Lions. Even though this team pushed one of the best teams in the NFL to the brink, they still lost. But it was an impressive loss, if there is any such thing. All right, so I want to dive into a few aspects of that game, and I want to ask you all out there, with that game being so close, looking at that Detroit Lions defense, you know, drive after drive, frustrating Patrick Mahomes, are you buying or selling the Lions as a playoff team this year? What do you think? Do you think this is the old, you know, Charlie Brown and Lucy situation? Where they're just teasing you. Oh, this team looks good right now, but in the coming weeks, the wheels are going to fall off? Or do you really believe that this team has turned a corner here? Looking at what you saw on Sunday, this team can possibly do something special this season. 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. And did you hear the news that broke this morning concerning college athletes being allowed to use their names, images, and likeness to outside bidders to get paid for those things when it comes to universities out in California? Pretty big stuff. I'm going to dive into that. I'm going to really just kind of pick apart how we got to this point as well. I think it's long overdue. It was announced in a pretty cool way that involved one of the most popular athletes on planet Earth, LeBron James. Yeah, we'll dive into that as well, as California has allowed college athletes to make money. Big day today in the world of sports, folks. So, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in via social media. I see a few of you guys are watching the Facebook live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News, or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. As you know by now, Michigan State football got the win over Indiana on homecoming weekend, 40-31. Your final, as the Spartans now move to 4-1, and the Indiana Hoosiers drop to 3-2 on the season. This game was much closer than that 9-point win in favor of Michigan State shows. And you know, when you look at the some of the key stats in this game, you know, Brian Lewerke, who I thought played a really good game, 18 of 36. He threw for 3 touchdowns, 300 yards on the nose. Michael Penix Jr. on the other side, 33 of 42, 286 yards. He also threw for 3 touchdowns. Had a pretty solid game. Elijah Collins led Michigan State in the rush attack, 17 carries for 56 yards. He had 1 touchdown, his longest run was 19 yards. And Darryl Stewart Jr., how big was he on Saturday? Heck, how big has he been throughout these 5 games for Michigan State? He has been a man. He is leading the Big Ten right now in receiving yards. 5 catches for 117 yards. He had 2 touchdowns on Saturday. So more on that game in just a moment. Also, the Michigan Wolverines were able to get out of the doghouse after that embarrassing blowout loss to the Ohio State Buckeyes the week prior to getting a 52-0 win over the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Rutgers is just bad. And if you haven't heard, you know, Rutgers also fired its head coach over the weekend, Chris Ash. He got the boot after that 52-0 embarrassment out in Ann Arbor. Shea Patterson, he was 17 of 23 behind center for 276 yards. He had 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Christian Turner, he actually led the Michigan rushing attack
11 carries for 48 yards and one touchdown. Also, Hassan Hastings, 9 carries, 45 yards for him. And Zach Charbonnet, who has been really the guy behind, well, I should say in the backfield for Michigan, he had 5 carries for 22 yards. Ronnie Bell was the lead receiver for the Wolverines, 6 catches for 83 yards. All right? I don't know how much I'll touch on Michigan today just because that was expected, right? I mean, it's Rutgers. If you lose to Rutgers, you don't deserve to be in the Big Ten. So, yeah, there you have that. All right. Back to MSU sports. The Michigan State volleyball team sitting at 10-2 on the year. Evened its Big Ten record with, I should say, at 1-1 now with a 3-0 sweep of visiting Maryland on Saturday evening at Jenison Fieldhouse. MSU's middle blockers were impressive, hitting a combined 469 with 19 kills between the pair. Nia Gross had 10 kills on 17 swings and added a pair of blocks, while Rebecca Poljan had 9 kills, hit 533, and had 4 blocks and a dig. MSU women's soccer shut out Purdue 2-0 on a rainy afternoon at DeMartin Stadium. Spartans remain undefeated in home games this season, boasting a 6-0-0 record in matches in East Lansing. The Spartans gathered their third home shutout of the season with the team's first conference win. Now, the 6 wins at home to start the season are the most wins at home since 2012, the 2012 season, when the team went 7-3-2 through the 12 home matches. MSU now improves to 8-3. I should say 8-3-0 on the season and 1-2-0 in Big Ten play, while Purdue falls to 6-4-1, 2-2-0 in conference games. All right, it will be harder for Dish Network subscribers, if you haven't heard, to watch Michigan State football or any Big Ten sporting event this season, to be honest with you, because the Big Ten Network, FS1, FS2, Fox Soccer Plus, and Fox Deportes went dark last week Thursday for Dish Network and Sling subscribers. Dish Senior Vice President of Programming, Andy LeCure, he said in a statement, quote, Fox's actions are profoundly anti-consumer. Fox is raising prices and turning its back on its public obligation to provide channels to consumers for free. It's clear that Fox cares more about padding its bottom line than serving its viewers. Ooh, shots fired there. He goes on to say, quote, to add insult to injury, Fox pulled its channels right as viewers head into the heart of the NFL and college football season. We asked Fox to stop pushing, well, I should say punishing its own viewers so we can focus on reaching a fair deal, end quote. So, again, that comes from Andy LeCure, who is the Dish Senior Vice President of Programming. But right now, yeah, you can't watch the Big Ten Network, FS1, FS2, Fox Soccer Plus, and Fox Deportes if you are a Dish Network subscriber. So, yeah, that's tough news there. All right, this one went down to the wire. Surprised many around the National Football League world as the Kansas City Chiefs, in a dogfight against the Detroit Lions, were able to still pull out the win, though. 34-30 the final, but it was not easy at all. Matthew Stafford showing guts and heart throughout this game. He was 21 of 34 for 291 yards. He had 3 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes, who struggled at times throughout this game, he was 24 of 42 for 315 yards. He had no touchdowns, no picks, but again, on that final drive, he came up big, especially on that fourth down run to keep the drive moving and put his team in position to go ahead and take the lead over the Detroit Lions, putting them to bed. When it came to the rushing attack, I was quite surprised with J.D. McKissic. He's been great this year. He had 30 yards on the ground. Also had 1 catch for 11 yards. Kerryon Johnson led the overall rushing attack for the Lions, though. He had 26 carries for 125 yards. But Chiefs, they now move to an undefeated record of 4-0. The Lions fall to 2-1-1 on the year. And looking forward now in this Detroit Lions schedule, they will take on the Green Bay Packers on October 14th. That will be a night game, primetime night game on ESPN against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But, yeah, with that being said, the Lions, they are on a bye this week. And that game is going to be a Monday Night Football game on ESPN on the 14th. So, but great outing. I must admit, I was sitting there very impressed with what the Detroit Lions were able to do. We'll have more on that game later on this hour as well. And thank goodness the Detroit Tiger season is over. It's done. Yeah. the Chicago White Sox, they won the season finale over the Detroit Tigers yesterday. A score of 5-3 was your final. The Tigers finished the year with a record of 47-114. That is so embarrassing. It's over, though. You can heal now, Detroit Tiger fans. So that means that the 2019 MLB postseason is set. Exciting stuff. In the wild card, on October 1st, you can catch the National League wild card matchup between the Milwaukee Brewers taking on the Washington Nationals at 8:08 p.m. on TBS at Nationals Park. October 2nd, that AL wild card matchup will feature the Tampa Bay Rays at the Oakland A's. That will be an 8:09 p.m. start on ESPN at the Oakland Coliseum. But you've got, you know, it's going to be a fun postseason. I think it's going to be a really fun postseason. This is when I kind of start to lock in a little bit when it comes to Major League Baseball. You know, if the Tigers have been irrelevant all year, this is when I really start to watch some kind of baseball, right? but again, I mentioned those wild card matchups, and the winner of the Milwaukee and Washington game will take on the L.A. Dodgers on October 3rd. Game times for these are to be announced. Also, the winner of the Milwaukee and Washington game, again, taking on the Dodgers, game two is going to be October 4th, game three, October 6th, game four next week, Monday, October 7th, game five, October 9th. And in the National League Division Series, you've got St. Louis versus Atlanta. You've got the American League Division Series, Tampa Bay or Oakland taking on Houston. In the American League Division Series, you've got Minnesota versus the New York Yankees, who have been great pretty much all year. And the Championship Series games will start later on this month, October 11th and October 12th. So, fun stuff, though. 2019 MLB postseason underway this week. And as I mentioned at the top of the hour, Governor Gavin Newsom has signed a bill that will allow California athletes to earn money from the use of their names, images, and likeness. This is despite warnings from the NCAA that the measure would upend amateur sport. Oh, this is big, folks. We'll have more on that later on this hour. And I definitely want to hear your thoughts on that. Phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch and comment below the live stream there. And you can tweet us. Tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News.
I don't want to say this is checkmate, but this is a major problem for the NCAA.
Nevesy brought the bill here with you today. Man. When you put pen to paper right now, what's this going to change and what's it going to do?
It's going to initiate dozens of other states introduce similar legislation, and it's going to change college sports for the better by having now the interests, finally, of the athletes on par with the interests of the institutions. Now we're rebalancing that power ranking.
Oh, well, let's do it.
Let's all you ready?
Yeah, let's do it, man. All right.
Now, long, California. Man.
Wait, this is the number one reason why we've created this platform. To be able to have moments like this where we got the governor of California signing a bill to allow athletes in college.
Okay, let me see what that thing look like.
You see that? We got to see that right there? That's good. That's Gov's signature right there.
Yeah, a little Public Enemy Fight the Power on this Monday. Fitting instrumental behind that audio of Governor Gavin Newsom appearing on an online episode of The Shop, which is a really cool show produced by LeBron James and the good folks at HBO. It's in partnership with the digital sports media company Uninterrupted. You know, LeBron James is kind of like the brainchild behind this. They're sitting in the barbershop just kind of debating stuff, right? And during this online-only episode, that announcement was made. Heard the audio of it as Governor Gavin Newsom. And by the way, I don't know if it's just me, but Gavin Newsom gives me like Matthew McConaughey vibes, doesn't he? I thought he was going to break out like a right, all right, all right, all right at one point. He looks and kind of sounds like Matthew McConaughey. It's kind of weird, man. but he's a cool dude. Seems like a cool dude. And I absolutely love what he had to say concerning why this bill is long overdue. Long overdue. But he signed it right there on the episode. LeBron James, you heard his voice as he was sitting next to Governor Gavin Newsom, and he held up the bill with Newsom's signature on it. And this is a game changer. I truly believe that this is a game changer. We're going to dive more into it later on. The governor also appearing alongside the WNBA's Diana Taurasi and former UCLA basketball player Ed O'Bannon. Fitting, right? Because O'Bannon was the player who, you know, went at the NCAA and the whole video game situation. You're using my likeness for your EA Sports video game, and that's what really led to there not being a college football or college basketball or any college video game done in quite some time. So the signing of that episode right there, that actually was recorded on Friday but released today. That's according to Newsom's office. But that's a game changer. How do you feel about this? That's like the prime question that I have. I guess I got two of them. You know, are you a believer in the Detroit Lions after looking at what you saw yesterday at Ford Field? Are you buying or selling the Detroit Lions as a legit playoff team this season? And the second foundational question for this hour is, are you in favor of this new California bill? And how much of a game changer do you believe this is? So, two hot questions for you to weigh in on. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And again, weigh in at facebook.com/WKARnews. Tweet us. Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR News. Let's start, though, with MSU football. How about the Spartans pulling out a close victory against the Indiana Hoosiers on Saturday? Mixed reaction.
is what I've been reading, is you know, what I've been getting back from the people that I've been talking to who are Michigan State football fans. Mixed reaction, because on one end, you got people who are like, hey, that offense looked pretty good and really carried the team on Saturday, made some key plays and key moments. You were pleased with the play of Brian Lewerke. Brian, for the most part, had a pretty solid game. If I had to grade him, I'd give him a B. Not bad. Made some big plays down the stretch in that game. How about the heave to Daryl Stewart Jr. and then the run? There's some debate about that run, right? There are some people who say that, oh, yeah, Brian, he knew what he was doing. You know, he could have scored there, but, you know, he looked up, saw the time, and just fell right on the one-yard line and said, let's play the clock game right now. Whereas there are some people out there who were saying just, you know, Brian's slow. That's why he couldn't get into the end zone. Brian says that he knew the situation. He knew the situation. He looked up at the clock and said, I'm gonna go down right here. And let's drain some of this clock before we either go in the end zone or put the game on the leg of Matt Coughlin. But there's some mixed reaction, because you saw how Michael Penix was able to carve up that Michigan State defense. And there are some that say, okay, well, this is against Indiana, and Michael Penix was able to do that against the Michigan State defense. Can you just imagine what's going to happen this weekend when Michigan State plays Ohio State in Columbus, Ohio on primetime television? And I get that take. But looking at Michael Penix, Michael had a really good game. And when you really dive into how Indiana put up 31 points, and if I would have told you a week ago that Michigan State's defense was going to allow 31 points against Indiana without telling you the final score, you probably would have picked Indiana to win that game, right? Probably would have. But that offense carried the defense, and that we haven't said that, and I don't know how long. It's been years, I feel like. They came up big. But how Michael Penix and that Indiana defense was able to put up 31 against that stout, normally stout, Michigan State defense was, as I mentioned, those small little drop-offs from Michael to his receivers. Those little dumps that went for 3 yards, 4 yards, then a first down, then 4 yards, 2 yards, then a first down. It was just like it was very frustrating for that defense. And, you know, those lead to long drives, which leads to that Michigan State defense getting a bit winded and wearing down. And then all of a sudden, okay, you're killing us underneath. Well, you got to bring up that defense a bit. And Michael Penix, and this is something that I warned about on Friday's show. I've been reading left and right that Michael Penix has an arm on him. Many people believe he's got an NFL-type arm. And then when you come up, he may take a few shots downfield and beat you. Not to mention that these Indiana receivers are pretty big. You know, WAP. I love that name, by the way. WAP Fillior. He was big in that game. And he's a big receiver. You know, we talk about WAP Fillior. Oh, he's 178 pounds. He's, you know, 6 feet. He's just he's a strong receiver. Donovan Hale, 6 feet four, 218 pounds. He gave that Michigan State defense a lot of trouble. It seemed like Indiana also was trying to pick on Josiah Scott a bit in this game. But you look at the stats. I mean, Watt Fillior had 14 catches for 142 yards, 2 touchdowns. Donovan Hale was a yard away from 100 yards. He had 7 catches for 1 touchdown. WAP averaged 10.1 yards per catch. Donovan averaged 14. I mean, they gave Michigan State a lot of fits. And I think, I truly believe, I mean, those short, I mean, 14 catches, a lot of those to WAP were just small little here you go. All right, run 5 yards, cut, boom, there you go. All right, run to the sideline, I got you, there you go. And these elongated drives, I really believe that it got the Michigan State defense tired. So, you know, this is a hard game to read, folks. It really is. Because on one hand, you know, this was out of the norm when it comes to the MSU defense. You don't normally see this. Does it say more about the MSU defense or more about the Indiana offense? I tell you what, when I saw a few plays from Michael Penix throughout that game, not just a few, many, many plays, Michael Penix is a pretty good quarterback. Solid overall quarterback. I thought he had a great performance against the Spartans. You know, 33 of 42, 286 yards, 3 touchdowns. He made some plays happen with his feet as well. Athletic guy, big arm. That's a solid quarterback. I don't think you're normally going to see a performance like that from that MSU defense just because of just how good Penix was on Saturday. What you have to be encouraged about was the Michigan State offense because, you know, putting up 40 points and carrying your team to victory, solid stuff. And Brian Lewerke's 18 of 36 line, he had one of the best games in recent memory and had clutch plays all game long. And also, I want to mention a few drops. You know, he had about like 6 to 7 passes that were dropped. He did miss some wide open throws at times. I feel like we say that every week with Brian Lewerke, though. All right. Every week, Brian has one of those throws that are, you know, a few throws that are just behind the receiver, a little bit too high, not real accurate. That's Lewerke for you. All right. But the drops don't help either. Being real nitpicky here, I would have loved to have seen that offensive line play better. I've been saying that. We've been saying that for years, though. You know, once again, that offensive line did not get a lot of push. And, you know, Lewerke got hit all afternoon long. That run game didn't really break out. Didn't really get going after that opening drive. And, you know, Blake Buehler, he went down with an injury early in the game. So, but the line wasn't even getting the push before that. All right. 142 rush yards, 134 carries. Doesn't seem that bad. You know, but not as good when you look at how, you know, Lewerke was the team's leading rusher with 78 yards on 12 carries, including that long run that set up the game-winning field goal at the 2-yard line. Collins had a few nice runs, but nothing eye-popping. And then the debate becomes, because I was a little bit puzzled here, especially when you look at how Matt Coughlin has struggled this season. Do you score a touchdown there and trust your defense? I would have scored a touchdown there. It seemed to me a bit like, you know, Indiana looking at the clock, they were going to allow Michigan State to score that touchdown. I know the defense, they did get carved up in this game, and, you know, they allowed 31 points, but in crunch, in crunch time, in the clutch, I would have trusted that defense to get the job done. Take the 6. I don't know, especially with the way Matt Coughlin has been playing this year. But thank goodness he made the field goal. That Michigan State defense comes up big, gets a late touchdown, game over. And Darryl Stewart Jr., what more can we say about this young man? He may be the Big Ten's best wide receiver. He is so good. Through 5 games, Stewart Jr. leads the Big Ten in receiving, added 5 catches for 117 yards, 2 touchdowns against Indiana. Again, that big reception, that 44-yard jump ball from the arm of Brian Lewerke on the final drive. That set up the game-winning field goal. Get that man the ball. I'm curious to see how the Big Ten, especially Ohio State this weekend, how they decide to try and slow down Darryl Stewart. He's looked amazing, though. I mean, he reminds you of receivers back in the day, like a like a Tony Lippett, you know, Aaron Burbridge back in the day as well. But, you know, he is on an incredible pace right now. And, again, arguably the best Big Ten receiver in the game. You know, you got Rondale Moore. You got, you know, what, K.J. Hamler. You know, about, you know, a few other different guys, you know, at Ohio State as well. But I've been very impressed with Daryl Stewart Jr. He has looked like a man amongst boys. How concerned are you about the Michigan State secondary, though? They got picked on a bit. You know, Michael Penix in that Hoosier offense, 286 yards through the air, three touchdowns, 33 of 42 completions. And Josiah Scott, who's normally a lockdown guy. I don't know. I think that was just a size thing. I don't know. You know, we mentioned Josh Butler earlier this season. He's mad. He had a few mistakes. How concerned are you with the secondary? Because looking at that secondary on Saturday and knowing that you got Ohio State on the schedule come this weekend, I don't know. Also want to mention that the line has come out when it comes to Michigan State and Ohio State. And when I checked it last, it was hovering around 19. And where it sits right now, I have to double check, but a sports book that I looked at this morning had it at like 19 and a half, something like that. So, will Michigan State beat Ohio State? I don't know. Do they have a chance? Looking at how Ohio State has played, the only argument you can argue against this, you know, against the fact that they don't have a chance, against not the fact, but against the take that they don't have a chance, is that, you know, looking at Ohio State's schedule, they play, you know, nobody really, right? FAU, Cincinnati, Indiana, Miami of Ohio, and Nebraska. You know, finally you get to play a team that has a ranked number next to its name. But when you look closely at this Ohio State Buckeyes team, this is a team that's going to be really hard to slow down. And if I was a betting man, and that line is set at 19, I may take Ohio State with that number. Call me crazy, but I don't know. I'm going to get the thoughts of Jack Kerwin behind the glass in just a moment. He's the engineer of today's show. I'm going to read a few of your comments in just a moment as well. Before we do all of that, let's hit our first break. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call if you want to weigh in via phone call here on the show. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You just heard my thoughts on Michigan State against Indiana. Great performance by the Michigan State offense. And they carry MSU on Saturday. That defense struggled a bit. You know, Michael Penix and those big receivers caused that Michigan State secondary some problems. And a weird situation yesterday with the Associated Press poll, top 25 poll coming out. At first, Michigan State was not ranked in the top 25, but then they came out with an update and said that actually Michigan State is tied with Texas A&M at number 25. So Michigan State, even though it's 25, they are still a top 25 ranked team. So I want to give you guys that update because some people were on Twitter like, whoa, Michigan State not ranked after beating Indiana? And at first it didn't look like that, but then an update came out and Michigan State is tied in the top 25. All right, I want to go behind the glass right now. Jack Kerwin, who listened to my take during that segment A. Your thoughts, Jack, on what you saw from Michigan State on Saturday. How concerned are you or encouraged are you after that game on Saturday? Because there's a few ways you can look at it, right?
Well, I think I'm a little bit worried just in terms of, you know, what Michael Penix and Indiana's offense was able to do was pretty reminiscent of actually what Arizona State did late in the game earlier this month, where, you know, they didn't really test the secondary too much downfield for the most part. A lot of passes at the line of scrimmage where receivers got out and blocked, and Indiana found, you know, found ways to pick up first downs that way. And, you know, if this is kind of becoming, oh, I don't know, more of a trend of how teams can exploit MSU's defense, that concerns me a little bit. But, you know, from the standpoint of MSU giving up whatever it was, 31 points or whatever it is, I'm not overly concerned about it as it stands on its own, just because, you know, this defense has been pretty much the same for going on 3 years now. And you know what? They're entitled to a bad game every now and then. We'll see how they bounce back against the Buckeyes next weekend. You talked about thinking Ohio State would cover that 19.5-point spread. I'll be honest with you, Al. I wouldn't touch that game with a 10-foot pole. Because,
it's a little bit dangerous, isn't it?
Well, yeah, just because the number seems really high, but at the same time, you're absolutely right. Ohio State's been killing people all year, and I don't know if this is a sign of things to come for MSU's defense, that teams have found a way to attack him, or if they just had a bad game. And you know what? You're absolutely right. Michael Penix, they didn't ask him to do a ton in that game because, again, they didn't go downfield a lot. But he looks like an impressive player, so maybe it was just his play that kind of brought out some flaws in MSU's defense.
Right. It's hard to read. You know, and I said this on Friday. I mean, Indiana, you know, coming into that game against MSU was such a hard team to read because, again, they had been without Michael Penix for these last few weeks. And then he comes in there and plays, and I've been reading a lot in the, you know, a lot of glowing reviews about his play, and I see why. I mean, the kid's a baller, and he's tough. He's a tough kid. He's not intimidated. I mean, they were there in a hostile homecoming environment at Spartan Stadium, and they pushed Michigan State to the brink. So, you know, I'm curious to see how Indiana's season, how the season for Indiana rolls along here. But you know, moving forward, you know, again, you could also look at it this way as well. I mean, Michigan State finding a way to make winning plays down the stretch of that game. I thought that throw to Darryl Stewart Jr.
Wasn't that big time? Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
This kid is amazing right now. He is on quite the pace when it comes to his numbers and his production for the Michigan State football team. I didn't think that Darryl Stewart would be this good. He looks amazing.
Well, you know what? The system has never done any favors for the Michigan State receivers the last several years, and I've just been thinking to myself the last couple weeks, you know, what would they have looked like if they had Felton in this offense where they were more vertical? Think of how great they could have been, and I agree with you. I never really knew what to make of Darryl Stewart just because he always seemed like he was kind of, you know, the Pippen to Felton's Michael Jordan, if you will. He was always right. he was always the second man in that receiver room, and I wasn't sure how he was going to be able to, you know, kind of take that step once he became the guy. But with this offense, I mean, he's perfectly fit for it, and you know, he's been unbelievable through what, four games so far this season, or five games this season, excuse me. But you know what the other thing is too, is how encouraging is it that Michigan State finally, for the first time since Josiah Price left, looks like they might have a little bit of tight end play going on.
Oh, my goodness. That's been a consistent thing throughout this season, though, I feel like. I mean, you know, looking at like Cyber, really. I mean, he looked amazing.
He came out of nowhere, and it's like he's a good player because, right. I mean, Dotson has just had his struggles with consistency. Not as bad as Sokol last season, right. But, I mean, they've thrown the ball to him, and he hasn't been able to hang on to it. But it looks like with Matt Seibert, they finally have a guy at that position.
Right. It's been awesome to watch, man. So, and I gotta give you some credit to, like you said, Jack, to Brad Salem. You know, he's trying some different things that are working. He's allowing Brian Lewerke to take some shots downfield here and there. I like it. I like what I'm seeing from the Michigan State offense right now. So, yeah, the Buckeyes. We'll certainly, as the week rolls along here, we'll talk more about Michigan State and Ohio State. That's going to be an interesting game. All right, the Detroit Lions. Are you buying the Detroit Lions? I must admit, there was a moment where I was a bit nervous watching that game. Because, again, I would have had to pay up on that bet of buying a Matthew Stafford jersey, you know, which I really don't have the moolah for, and wearing that live here on the airwaves. I must say it was impressive. You know, this Detroit Lions team pushing one of the most dynamic offenses we have seen in the game of football in a long time. You know, when you look at the history of the game and the numbers that Patrick Mahomes and that offense has been putting up on a week-to-week basis, it's amazing. And, you know, Matthew Stafford, I love the play of when Matthew Stafford had that really tough run, you know, where he sheds like two tackles and, you know, doesn't slide. He doesn't go down easy. A part of me was like, dude, you know, you're not 100% coming into this game. You already got this hip problem. But, you know, he got up. He's just a tough guy. I mean, how can you not respect Matthew Stafford? This dude goes out there every single Sunday and gives it all he's got. You know, and then the connections to Kenny Golladay, who was amazing in that game as well, had some big catches. Jack, I don't know what a catch is in the NFL. We've been saying this for a long, long time. Was that first, quote-unquote, touchdown throw and catch to Kenny Golladay, did you think it was a catch?
When I saw it in real time, I thought to myself, like, that's got to be a catch, right? And I actually think they probably got the call right according to the rule.
According to the rule.
But that just says how awful the rule is, because there's no football player, I'm sorry, there's no football fan who can ever watch that play and say, that shouldn't be a catch.
Right.
He caught the ball. Like, to me, he catches the ball, he gains possession inbounds with 2 feet down. Then as he's falling to the ground out of bounds, he loses control of the ball, but the ball never hit the ground.
Right.
You know, he gained possession inbounds, and then the ball moves while he's falling down. To me, the ball doesn't hit the ground, so it should be a catch, but, you know, it's whatever.
The fact that the ball was moving, you know, you just got the feeling that they were going to go the other way with that. And, you know, it's typical Lions, man. They just have to be one of the most unlucky teams in all of football.
Nah.
The play right after that, Jack?
Yeah, I don't give him any. No excuses.
Fumbles?
You can't fumble. And then
right?
the one that kills you is Kerryon Johnson inexplicably stretching the ball, trying to get it over the goal line on first and goal from the 1 yard line. And I love Kerryon.
Right.
I'm a 21 year old. Kerryon Johnson is the best running back the Detroit Lions have had in my lifetime.
Right.
You know, by a mile, except for, you know, about a year and a half of Reggie Bush. I love Kerryon.
Yep.
And Kerryon will learn from this. But, I mean, that was terrible.
Wasn't
absolutely
terrible?
Inexplicable that he is not holding the ball tight to his body when it is first down from the 1 yard line. It's not a big deal if you don't score on that play because you have three more chances after that.
That's called when doing too much goes wrong. I mean, dude, yeah, just go down and live to fight another down. But it was so weird. That play was so weird because, you know, it happens and you're like, okay, that's got to be ruled down. Now, the referees, I don't know if they did it intentionally or not. That was the same referee crew that did the, what was it, the Saints game last
year? Yeah, that play was a little different because I think there was like a pass that was initially ruled incomplete, and then they went back and looked at it and said it should have been called a fumble.
And they blew the whistle early.
Yeah, but it was blown dead, yeah.
They blew it dead. So this time, I think they learned their lesson because they didn't blow it dead. They allowed the play to play out, and that's how you want to do it. Let it play out and then go to replay and then figure it out from there. And that's exactly what happened. They didn't blow the whistle. And then you have, you know, KC picks up the football. Looking at that replay, they got the call right. You know, it was a fumble, and it was returned for a touchdown. Could not believe that happened. And that just kind of, you know, you would think that kind of let the air out of the balloon. But the Lions didn't give up. They didn't give up. They showed a lot of heart in that game. I was very impressed. And another point I want to make is that, you know, looking at, you know, what happened yesterday, even with injuries, you know, because Detroit entered this game without their best defensive player in Darius Slay. They also lost starting safety Quandre Diggs fairly early on in that game. You know, despite that undermanned defense managed to hold on and, you know, give what is probably the greatest offense in the NFL today a run for its money. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, who had thrown 14 touchdowns this season entering the game, he was held without a touchdown pass for the first time in his career. It's the first time he's never thrown a touchdown pass. Amazing.
All right, that stat's a little bit misleading, though. I've heard everyone talking about it.
That's amazing, Jack.
Okay, but there were like three drives where they got inside the five and they just ran it in. That's the thing.
True.
Like, no, I'm not trying to take away from the Lions' defense. They made enough plays To give the team a chance to win, save that fourth down where they should have had a spy on Mahomes, but whatever.
Right.
But I mean, to say they held Patrick Mahomes without any touchdown passes, yeah, but they got inside the 2 yard line like three times and they just pounded the ball in.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. But still, that's a cool stat to say if you're the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
You're the Detroit Lions.
Man. Sure.
I'll take that all day. But so that's amazing. And they frustrated him. They were able to frustrate Patrick Mahomes at some times in the game. I remember that. Remember, I don't know if you saw or if you remember the one time during that broadcast, they, you know, the announcers, I think it was Charles Davis. I forget who the other guy was, but they were talking
Kevin Burkhardt. They both stunk.
Yeah, well,
usually like Charles Davis.
Oh, Charles is great.
But
he's on
I don't know if I don't know if I necessarily like him as a broadcaster as much as just an analyst.
What do you remember though? That one part in the game where they're like Patrick Mahomes like summoned like four people to look at like the whole drive, and they're like going back and forth. They were confused. They were trying to figure out, okay, what are we doing wrong? The Lions. And then I heard that the crowd noise was a factor. What have you ever heard that, oh, it's so loud here in Ford Field? Like, I've never heard that before.
You've never heard that before?
No, never.
Never?
Like, when have you, like the
Bears Monday night game 6 or 7 years ago?
I mean,
James Jones said earlier this week that Ford Field is like a practice field atmosphere. I don't know where these guys are getting that. Mm. Ford Field's one of the most hostile environments in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, because it's
a
dome.
I need to go to a game.
Because it's
never
a dome.
Yeah, that's true, because you're in a dome.
It's indoors. Yeah, exactly.
I've never heard that before, though. I don't know. Maybe it's just not talked about enough, but I've never heard, oh, it's so – I've never seen a quarterback on the field go, oh, I can't hear anything right now. It's so loud here in Ford Field. But the crowd caused some problems in that game as well. So, you know, and I think what we learned, if anything, is that this team can compete. You know, if you compete against the Kansas City Chiefs, again, I don't believe in moral victories. There are no moral victories in sports, okay? But the fact that you only lost, I thought you were going to get blown out the water and I was going to be turning off that game after the first quarter. The fact that you competed against Patrick Mahomes in that offense, wow. Man, I just think to myself, what if the Lions had, you know, Darius Slay or you know, Danny Amendola or Quandre for that game, you know, and T.J. Hockenson, dang it. Why leap, dude? What's up with this leaping culture in the NFL?
You know what?
Today,
I
man?
Said it. I don't remember who it was. Oh, it was Logan Thomas, the other tight end for the Lions, who hurdled a guy earlier in the game.
He did.
They need to make that play illegal. It is so dangerous, more so for the player with the ball than it is for actually the defender. And it was a perfect example of the Hockenson play. Mm-hmm. If you try to hurdle a defender and the defender clips your feet, you're landing right on your head.
Right on your
head. Exactly what happened to T.J. Hockenson.
Exactly. And it almost happened, yeah, again, like you said, early on in the game, and he was able to, like, kind of, like, find his footing because it was weird. Like, he caught himself in between the guy's helmet and then was able to ride it down to the ground. But it's, like, it's such a dangerous play. And T.J., I don't know, that looked like a concussion.
It was absolutely, I absolutely think it was. He was in the concussion protocol right after that. The other thing is, too, is it's not a natural football play to try to jump over somebody.
No.
If you're trying to get past someone, you should either juke to try to get around them or lower your shoulder and try to run through somebody.
Right.
It's not natural in football to try to jump over a player.
It just looks sexy. You're trying to land yourself, I guess, on ESPN's, you know, top 10 plays that night. You know, we've seen it all the time with, you know, the Zeke leaps with my Cowboys with Ezekiel Elliott and also Le'Veon Bell. He used to do it all the time here at Michigan State and carried it over to the NFL. But just be smart, man, because stuff like what happened to TJ can happen to any player who tries to leave his feet in an NFL game. So, all right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll have a long conversation on this tomorrow. Again, on Monday's Current Sports, I could do a 10-hour show. There's so much to cover. But I want to talk about California allowing college athletes to get paid. We'll be right back to put a bow on this Monday edition of Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. You know, we've been talking about Michigan State football. We've been talking a little Lions there in segment B. And, you know, let's read a few comments on our Facebook page. Why not? Alex comments and says, I am selling the Lions as a playoff team. That stigma of finding ways to lose reared its ugly head yesterday. I'm selling till they can get that monkey off their back. And that's a good point, Alex. I mean, because we've seen the Lions do this before where they, you know, they start off the season pretty good. And you're like, okay, I see some potential here. And then that same old Lions mantra comes back into play. So I don't know. Yeah, I approach with caution. Always approach with caution, with that blinking yellow light when it comes to the Detroit Lions. I'm just saying what we saw on Sunday was pretty impressive, and they should be proud of how they played that game. So some other comments here coming from Chris here about Michigan State. Michigan State could have gotten 10 more points if Coughlin didn't miss a field goal and the drop passes to an open running back. Michigan State has been the underdog many times against Ohio State, and the Spartans come up with wins against them. I don't know. This Ohio State team, and Michigan State hasn't beaten Ohio State in a while, by the way. But you know, I remember when I actually went to that game out in Columbus. What was that, like 2 years ago now, where they got blown out of the water? And I'm just sitting there like, yeah, okay, well, it's the third quarter, time to leave. Let's go. It was pretty cold that day too. I was like, oh, let's go get some hot chocolate or something. That was a pretty embarrassing game there. This Ohio State team just has so much talent, and they are just rolling through opponents right now like a train. I don't know. I don't know about that one, Alex. And also some comments about, you know, the Lions hanging with KC. Impressive stuff. Yeah, but tomorrow I'm going to dive into Cali, the state of California, allowing college athletes to get paid. This is monumental stuff, all right? You do not want to miss that conversation, folks, all right? But until then, thank you so much for listening to this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We are on a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.